Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
A courtside view of what's happening in the roller coaster Clippers Mavericks series. We've got to talk injuries as well because there are so many around the league. We talk about some coaching situations as well. Doc Rivers, Darvin Ham, Frank Vogel, and we even mix in some pseudo live reaction to the Phoenix Suns being swept out of the playoffs. All that's next on the latest edition of This League Uncut.
Welcome to This League Uncut. In the world of 24-hour NBA news, you snooze, you lose. Chris Haynes, it's go time. Mark Stein, it's showtime. Boom shakalaka. This League Uncut is underway and on fire. This should be a good one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the latest edition of This League Uncut. It's a playoff Sunday night. It feels like hours upon hours of drama, hardwood drama stacked on top of each other today. Let's be honest. This first round league-wide has been short on drama and racked by way too many injuries, but the first two games, especially today, the Knicks victory in Philadelphia, the Clippers winning in Dallas without Kawhi Leonard, that was a roller coaster. I was there, but let me bring in my co-host who's in Miami. He's getting ready to work the sidelines for TNT Monday night, game four of the Heat Celtics series. Chris Haynes, happy Sunday to you. Unfortunately, we got even more injury news today, more injury developments that have just dominated proceedings here in round one. But we also did get some pretty great basketball. And as we're recording this, Phoenix is trying to keep its season going. Minnesota and Phoenix locked in a close game halfway through the third quarter with the Wolves already up 3-0 in that series. So we'll probably have a result there by the time we wrap this thing up. But man, wild Sunday in your league. What's going on?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, injuries galore, which is, you know, it's tainting this first round a tad bit. I mean, the series with that, you know, that you've been at thus far with the Clippers and Mavs, Kawhi Leonard, tough blow. Bucks, Pacers, Giannis, Dame, tough right there. Joel Embiid with the Sixers just not being his full self. And, you know, it's been tough. Jimmy Butler, the series I'm doing, Jimmy Butler being out, You know, this is you don't want to see this at this point. But let's talk about the Clippers and Mavs since you're out there. Like, with the news of Kawhi Leonard taking some time off to try, the word is he will not be back until he's feeling right. What are you hearing out there, and what has that series been like? Just to see the roller coaster that it's been.
Yeah, honestly, today was wild. A couple hours before tip-off, we had Clippers president of basketball operations, Lawrence Frank, came out and said that Kawhi was being ruled out of game 4. And more ominously, there's no timetable for when he's going to come back. And then what happens? The Clippers jump out to a 39-16 opening quarter. Just a ridiculously good. The Clippers were great in game 1 at home without Kawhi Leonard, but they were next level in the first quarter to start here in Dallas. Just had the 3-ball working. They were playing at a faster pace without Kawhi. The Clips ultimately stretched that lead all the way to 31 points on Dallas's floor. And look, the Mavericks were able to come all the way back. They took a 105-104 lead late on a Kyrie Irving layup that, if you haven't seen it yet, I mean, honestly, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing there's no way you haven't seen it, because it was absolutely ridiculous how long Kyrie hung in the air and found a way to scoop one in underneath 3 very tall defenders who were trying to keep him away from the rim. It looked like the Mavs were going to pull off a comeback for the ages. It looked like the Clippers were going to suffer a meltdown for the ages. And then in crunch time, the Clippers took over. So it was really like Dallas lost this game twice. It really ended up being just a dagger defeat for the Mavericks, because it looked like they were going to take a 3-1 series lead. Looked like they were going to complete this unbelievable escape after looking so bad in the first half, and for the second time in this series, not responding to the fact that Kawhi Leonard wasn't out there. And James Harden found another gear in the fourth quarter in crunch time, much like we saw in the first half of game 1. Paul George hit a ridiculous fallaway 3 in the corner. To that point, Paul George only had 2 points in the second half. And the Mavericks and their coach, Jason Kidd, in the immediate aftermath of the loss, facing a lot of questions, a lot of criticism for not switching to a bigger lineup late as James Harden started finding the range with his floater. This was crazy. I didn't realize this. Harden shot sub 30% during the season on his floaters, which, hard to believe today, because he made 5 in the fourth quarter and really looked like he could get just about anywhere he wanted to. It was a turn back the clock performance from Harden. And that's now twice in this series that the Southern California native, he's in his first playoff run with the Clippers and has just been sensational. Both Clipper wins in this series without Kawhi Leonard. Both Clipper wins feature huge games from Harden, who has absorbed plenty of criticism himself when you dig into his playoff resume. So, look, I think Dallas has to be incredibly disappointed that they've lost twice in this series without Kawhi Leonard on the other side. There's no indication if Kawhi Leonard can even get back on the floor in this series, as well as the Clippers have played without him. I would imagine, I don't think they want to rush him back right now. They're playing, frankly, better without him because of the state of Kawhi Leonard's health. And if you saw him in games 2 and 3, he didn't look remotely like the Kawhi Leonard that everyone has come to expect in the postseason. But, you know, we talk about injuries, and there are so many to get to with, you know, the Bucks now losing Damian Lillard on top of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jimmy Butler in your series, Joel Embiid playing hurt in that series. I mean, we can go on and on and on. No Zion Williamson, of course, in the OKC New Orleans series, but in Dallas, Luka Doncic is playing hurt right now. That is painfully obvious when you watch the Mavericks play. And Luka Doncic is shooting sub 40% in this series. And after all the praise that Luka got for his defense in game two, which was probably the best, most impactful single game defensive effort of his career, today his movement was so labored. The Clippers were targeting him, and rightfully so. And I mean, he is ailing. He is nowhere close to where he should be. It's the playoffs. So just like Embiid in Philly, Luka's going to try to gut it out. But I mean, it's yet another injury headline in this postseason that has more than we can count.
I think as far as the Clippers, with Kawhi Leonard, his injury, I think it bodes well for the Clippers in the short term. The fact that now they know the guys that's going to be there, at least for this series. And so they can focus in on that. They can try to build off of that. And as you already stated, they won both games already without Kawhi. So, you know, I think this is more of a relief for the Clippers, not having to worry if Kawhi is going to be in the lineup this game, out the lineup next game. Like, that uncertainty is out the picture now. Now they can just focus on playing and being a team. And so that this series is very much alive, which, you know, I want to see a nice, compelling series. And, you know, the drama is still there. The intrigue is still there. Hopefully Luka continue to play at a high level. I know he's laboring. You know, obviously everyone can see it. But, you know, but this is still very much a compelling series. You don't know who has the momentum right now, or who's going to keep the momentum, I should say. So, you know, this thing is far from over, which is good. Which is more than I can say for a couple of these other series out there.
Yeah, look, every other series in the West got to 3-0. So we need at least one series in the West to deliver.
For sure.
And yeah, I mean, it is remarkably, this series has been pitched back to toss-up status. And again, I think the Mavericks, though, they're going to have to really pull together and steel themselves, because to get two shots at the Clippers with no Kawhi Leonard, and both times just getting routed in the first half, you know, just blitzed badly in the first half of game one and game four on their home floor, especially when you factor in the history that these two teams have. Remember, it's the third time in the last 5 years that these teams have met in the playoffs. The Clippers, they've only won three playoff series since Kawhi and Paul George came together. Two of them are against the Mavericks. This is the best team that Luka Doncic has ever had around him in a series against the Clippers. And, you know, Luka today post game, you know, he said he feels like he's letting Kyrie Irving down, with Kyrie Irving just playing incredible offensive basketball. And today Kyrie Irving willed the Mavericks back into this game with just ridiculous shot making, not just the layup, but again, that layup was an all-timer. And look, I think it's health. There's just no, you know, Luka struggling at the defensive end, okay, that's not exactly a new thing. But Luka shooting sub 40% from the field, I mean, that just tells you that something is wrong. And it wasn't even just the shooting. Today, multiple times in this game, he drove to the bucket and got the ball knocked out of his hands, basically stripped on a drive. That never happens. Once Luka gets inside, he's just so strong when he goes to the rim. So it just, you can just see he's not, his game is not all there. And 2 days off now before Wednesday's game five back in LA, but game six is Friday. A potential game seven is Sunday. It's basically every other day to finish the series once we get to the game five stage. And this really is the series in the West now that is providing all of the drama and what happens from here. Can the Clippers keep winning without their best players? How will the Mavericks rebound from an absolutely deflating defeat? And yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how Doncic looks Wednesday night. Because again, not just shooting sub 40% from the floor, he's shooting not even 27% from 3-point range. And those are just, that's just way below his typical standard. And I've watched him enough to know that I really attribute a lot of it to the state of his right knee, because he's just not moving well at all.
Stein, before we shift to another series, let's go off the court real quick as it pertains to the Clippers. Do you think the situation that the Clippers are in with Kawhi having to sideline himself again? They've been down this road before. There's no extension yet for Paul George. Do you think that Paul has gained a little bit more leverage now in his extension talks? Or do you feel like this probably won't play a factor at all?
I think it's too soon to know the answer to that question, because at 2-2, so much can still happen in this series. But look, there's no question that the Clippers' future is one of the major subplots here. Steve Ballmer here on the road in Dallas, very visible, watching pregame intently. Both of these games, at Clipper home games, there's places that he can go to kind of stay out of the public eye. But in Dallas, Ballmer was a very visible presence at these games, intently studying warmups. And, I'm sure he's trying to analyze this himself because, around the league, there is tons of curiosity. What will the Clippers do? Kawhi Leonard played in 68 games this season. It's the most we've seen him in the regular season since 2016-17, when he was still in San Antonio 7 years ago. But now, are the Clippers second-guessing how much Kawhi played during the regular season? Maybe 68 games was too much, and they've already extended Kawhi Leonard. Remember that day in January where, out of the blue, with no warning, Kawhi gets his extension. Paul George, as you mentioned, does not have his extension. He's eligible to be extended through June 30th. The Clippers need to come to terms with George before then to keep him off the free agent market, where we know the Philadelphia 76ers, who, by the way, are now facing elimination, the Sixers losing game 4 at home, and the Sixers are one loss away from their offseason starting. We know the Sixers will be at the front of the line to go after Paul George in free agency if the Clippers don't extend him by June 30th. And then James Harden. James Harden has really been the driving force in the Clippers' two wins in this series. James Harden, not even eligible for his extension until the summertime, but once June 30th / July 1 hits, now Harden's going to want an extension too. So do the Clippers want to run it back with this team at 2-2 in this series? I think they still need more data, to be honest, because look, there are high stakes and there is considerable pressure on both of these franchises. The Mavericks traded away a ton to get Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington at the trade deadline. Dallas will not have its first round pick in this draft because it is the last element that they must convey to the Knicks to complete the Kristaps Porzingis deal from 5 years ago at the deadline in 2019. And then the Mavericks have also surrendered control of their first round pick between 2027 and 2030. So they need this team to deliver and advance and live up to the promise they showed when they went 16-2 in the second half of the season to get to 50 wins and move up to the number 5 seed. So whoever loses this series, like so many teams in the West, is going to be facing some really tough questions in the offseason. The Mavs have used most of their trade chips. How can they improve this team if it goes out in round one? And the Clippers, if they go out in round one, are going to have to ask themselves, do we re-sign Paul George and James Harden, knowing these guys will just get a year older? And this is basically the team they're going to roll with. And look, Phoenix, Golden State, Sacramento, the Lakers, all of these teams are facing really hard offseason questions too. In the West, that's kind of the status quo for everyone. Any team that loses in the play-in or round one has some really tough choices to make. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's my long-winded way of saying I can't really answer that one. But I don't think, well, I can't answer it to this degree. I don't think as impressive as this victory was to save themselves after blowing a 31-point lead, I don't think this one victory is going to prompt the Clippers to make any declarations. They're going to need to see how this series turns out. Let me ask you something. Do you think we see Kawhi Leonard again in this series? Or do you think...
I don't. Not in this series, I don't.
I agree. I don't either. No, I think it's... Now, kind of the rumbles around the arena this afternoon were that he's still going to try and he doesn't want to rule himself out, and whether that's game five or game six or a potential game seven, the rumbles were that Kawhi is going to keep trying. But yeah, I mean, you saw game two and game three. He is just not moving well at all.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good segue over to the East for a little bit, talking about guys not moving well, which ultimately led to them not moving at all. Bucks, man. Pacers.
The Bucks.
That series.
Unreal.
It's gotten ugly. It's gotten ugly over there. Yeah, I don't foresee, I'll just say this, I don't foresee Dame or Giannis returning for this series. I don't. This is
at 3-1 down, it's just it's not worth the risk.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about really a not. Team that has a lot of off-season questions. I mean, the last thing they need is for Giannis or Dame to sustain a long-term injury. I mean, it sounds like they're playing right on the edge as it is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, Dame came into the playoffs really feeling good. He had about a week off. He was dealing with Achilles soreness towards the end of the regular season. Then he had like a week off, and he got right. He got himself right. And you've seen in those first couple of games of the playoffs, he was playing probably the best ball in that little 2-3 game stretch. You can make a case that was probably the best you've seen him at, just like scoring in bunches and in droves. And, you know, that was the Dame of old. You know, he was telling me, man, I'm feeling good. Like he was ready. And, you know, we all knew Giannis was his intention was to be able to come back at some point in this first round, but it's never got to that point. And now the state that the Bucks are in, down 3-1, it's just not wise to try to throw them out there right now. You know, if the Bucks would have put up a better fight, which they were undermanned, so it's tough to ask them to fulfill that. But if they were able to put up a fight, win a few more games here, you know, you probably could have seen a scenario where Giannis or Dame might be able to come back, not full strength, but just be able to come back and at least be a decoy. I don't know how effective, but it's just not. It's not there. It's tough. You know, it's tough. It's probably the best thing for them to do at this point is probably just focus on the offseason, regroup. Dame and Giannis, you know, they didn't get to train during the offseason last year. The trade happened so late. So get an offseason to train, build some more continuity together, and go into next season and try to dominate. But it's tough. You never want to see a series go out like that, where arguably the two best players are in the series. You know, they're done. Then Bobby Portis in Game 4 gets ejected, and you know it's just, you know, they're shooting themselves in the foot.
What happened though? I thought our pod was supposed to help guys soar to new heights. I don't think we did that for Bobby Portis.
Yeah, we did it. I mean, how long did Bobby? Maybe it's a time limit. Maybe you got to be on the show for about 30 minutes minimum. You know, maybe it was a time limit thing. I don't know. I got to look into the analytics of how long he was on, what he said, how fully engaged he was.
Yeah, why doesn't producer Ryan keep those analytics? We should have a spreadsheet
we need that.
Guess how that. Many minutes how long the interview lasted.
Yeah, because our coaches are, you know, most of our coaches are doing well who came on, you know, came on the show. I will still say Mike Brown did well. Look, they didn't make it to the playoffs, but they took down a team that they really wanted to beat desperately. They took down and took out the Golden State Warriors.
I don't think we can take credit for that when Mike Brown was on last season.
I think it was last season.
I don't think that counts.
I think it's a two-year
Dame winning the three-point contest. Dame winning the three-point contest hours after talking to us. That I think we can say that a little bit of this league uncut magic dust was we can draw a connection there, but
damn, we can't claim Mike.
We cannot say that we had anything to do with Mike Brown winning a play-in game against the Warriors a season after we talked to him.
I thought we had a two-year. There was a two-year expiration.
Finch,
period.
Maybe Minnesota keeps rolling, maybe you know Finch in the All-Star game appearance. Maybe we can take a little credit for that.
All right, my bet. Well,
let me ask you this, because obviously, you know, Doc Rivers has been under so much pressure coming in there at midseason. The results haven't been what the Bucks were hoping for after making that coaching change. But I mean, this has to take any notion of heat on Doc Rivers off. I don't know how he could win a playoff series without Giannis and Dame.
Nah, he's fine. I think there's enough. There's enough of a track record with this group where you can evaluate it and see, okay, now they know how Dame plays. Now they know, you know, what Dame and Giannis, now they know how they can improve playing with each other and playing with the collection of teammates. So now they can kind of evaluate the market and see, okay, what players will fit best with them? What does Dame need? What does Giannis need? What does Coach Doc Rivers need? Remember, Doc Rivers, you know, I will expect, or I will suspect, that he'll bring in a few more of his staffers on board. You know, he didn't. You know, he brought in, I believe, two assistant coaches, Dave Yeager and our guy Rex. And I believe it was just two. And so, if you look closely at the Bucks, you have to be a Bucks fan and really look at this, but if you look closely at the Bucks bench, and I'm talking about the assistant coaches, you've seen, since Doc has come on board, you've seen some assistant coaches who start off in the front of the bench and then they were moved to the back of the bench. You know, that was Doc Rivers like filling out his staff, giving other guys promotions and giving some demotions. And so, you know, Doc still has to find his way and be able to plant his mark as well. So, you know, no heat on Doc. They're going to try to figure this thing out together.
I have to say, I'm really going to be interested to hear what Giannis has to say when he sits down at a podium for his end of the season press conference. It's not going to have the blockbuster headline potential, most likely, that we saw last season after the Bucks lost to Miami so stunningly in round one. And of course, we had the whole There's no failure in sports speech. I'm not expecting those kind of fireworks, but just psyche-wise, this is 2 years in a row that Giannis entered the playoffs with an injury that has prevented him. I mean, this injury is likely going to prevent him from playing at all in the series. Obviously, last season against Miami, he did play some in the playoffs, but it's 2 years in a row that an injury has really interfered with his playoff hopes and dreams. And so I'm really ready for Giannis Unplugged to kind of hear what his mindset is and what he's thinking, because the expectations for this Bucks team were so high after the trade to bring in Dame right before the start of the season, and it's just been a brutal season in Brewtown. So I really want to, I know the series is only 3-1, but yeah, I mean, how can we say that the Bucks really have a chance to get out of this round with no Giannis, no Dame? There was an injury scare tonight for Chris Middleton on top of everything, but Middleton was able to play on. But yeah, I mean, this has just been one thing after another for the Milwaukee Bucks. And wow, we've gotten this far and we haven't even talked yet really too much about the first game of the day. The Knicks go to Philadelphia and win game four. Another wild one. Jalen Brunson, your guy, the little lefty, 47 points, career playoff high. Yet another major playoff downer for the Sixers. An absolutely brutal fourth quarter for Philly. Embiid only had 1 point, I believe, in that final period. The Sixers as a team missed their last 10 shots. I think they scored 3 points in the last 5 minutes. Embiid played. He was clearly exhausted at the end. And look, when you're a star, when you're a perennial MVP candidate, you take the heat when things go badly. But look, Joel Embiid scored 50 points on 19 shots in game three. And I'm struggling to just go after him now because of what we saw on this Sunday, knowing that he's playing hurt. He's playing at far less than 100%. And I think that has to be factored in. We can't just ignore that, you know, the Sixers go to pieces when Embiid is off the floor. And so, again, I'm struggling to just put this all on him. And it's amazing, really, what he's giving the Sixers so quickly after a meniscus procedure on his knee. But, man, Philly, you know, it's just been one playoff letdown / disappointment after another. And they're down 3-1 now to the Knicks, and it really looks like Jalen Brunson is just not going to let the Knicks lose this series.
Yeah, the Knicks are a tough-minded, gritty team. And, you know, I'm very impressed with the the DNA that they've latched onto, that is of Coach Tom Thibodeau. They're really plugged in. Not the fanciest team, not the most electric. They're just a hard fought team that's just going to give it to you from start to finish. And Philly, yeah, I mean, you touched on it right there. When Joel Embiid doesn't play, the team falls apart. And we've seen that during the regular season. They were one of the best teams in the East. Joel goes out, all of a sudden they're in play-in range. So this team is not what they should be right now. And that's based off of Embiid missing a chunk of the season and Embiid not being anywhere close to 100%, still dealing with that injury. He, you know, he's gutting it out. He probably shouldn't be playing. He's gutting it out. And you have to give him credit. You have to applaud him for trying to be there when it matters in the season most. So I can't blame him. It's just, you know, it's a sad tale because they've been through this time in and time again. And, you know, you don't want to say, well, they just can't win without Embiid. I mean, you don't want to say they can't win with Embiid. I mean, that's not – I don't think you can say that yet because he hasn't been healthy, you know, during postseason play for the most part. But there is a trend. But it's tough, man. I just want to see the big fella healthy. And he was playing some dominant basketball before the injury. Really, really unfortunate, but you got to give credit to the Knicks. All you can do, similar to the Indiana Pacers, all you can do is play who's ever on your schedule. That's it. Play who's ever on the roster at that time.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We've been waiting. Will Joel Embiid ever be able to enter the playoffs healthy? Or reasonably close to healthy, and he entered these playoffs well shy of healthy. And yeah, he scored 50 points the other night, but that doesn't mean that he is anywhere close to 100%. I thought it was unwise for Embiid to complain after the game about how many Knicks fans there were in Philly's building. Obviously, there were a ton, but that's not really an issue I think he should be raising in the wake of a game four home defeat. But when it comes to Embiid on the floor, I do think we have to give him some slack because he did come back from a knee procedure faster than he should have, just like Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. They both came back faster than they probably should have from a knee procedure. And we know, as we've said already, without Joel Embiid, the Sixers have no chance this series. Our former ESPN colleague, John Hollinger, he tweeted out pretty smartly earlier today, you know, the Sixers have a guy making almost $40 million this season. Tobias Harris only has 11 baskets in the first four games of this series. So the Sixers truly are leaning very, very heavily on Joel Embiid. And they wouldn't even have a chance without him. And that does have to be something that we remember and keep track of. On the other side, man, Jalen Brunson. Obviously, I saw him the first few years of his career, but I continue to be astounded. Year two in New York, year two since he left the city where I live and work in Dallas. I mean, he just still continues to get better. And he had a really rough start to this Philly series. He shot 16 for 55 in the first two games. Very uncharacteristic. But what he did today with 47 on the road to lead the Knicks to this win that gives the Knicks a 3-1 lead when so many other Knicks were struggling offensively. Just, man. Jalen Brunson has had a remarkable season, and I think he's going to end up in the top five in MVP balloting somewhere. You know, I doubt he gets higher than four or five, but he should be in the top five. He's been that good.
It's been really good. And one thing I like about Jalen, no matter if his shot is going in or not, he's going to be aggressive. He's going to stay aggressive. You're not going to have an off night if you're defending him. He's not going to give you that off night. He's going to keep coming at you. And I think Philly, first couple of games, thought they might have figured out something to, you know, stop his effectiveness, you know, to bring down that shooting percentage. But Jalen, man, he's a hooper, man. He knows how to get it done. So kudos to Jalen. He's leading this Knicks like nobody thought this. I remember when he signed that contract, went over to New York. People thought they overpaid. They didn't see this. So I'm happy that he's exceeding expectations and he's continued to to elevate his game and his team's game. So definitely fun to watch. What hasn't been, I ain't going to say what hasn't. Listen, so Stein, I'll say this. You know, we give a lot of credit. You said, all right, Bobby Portis. Okay, maybe Bobby Portis is somebody who's came on this pod and hasn't really stepped up like we expect most of our guests to come on here and have some success post the visit with us. But there's another guy I guess we got to mention. Darvin Ham. God, you know, Darvin Ham. We've had Darvin Ham on, and he's been on within a year. He came on last summer. And, you know, they got a win. They were close to getting swept. They got a win in game 4, one in L.A. LeBron James played out of this world. Anthony Davis stepped up. D'Angelo Russell finally had a good game in this series. So now the series shifts back to Denver for game 5. If the Lakers lose, everyone expects that the Lakers will make a coaching move after that. Is it deserved or not? Listen, I think the roster isn't that good. And not only that, I think they've been plagued by a lot of injuries that are just out of their control. I mean, Jared Vanderbilt hasn't played since, I don't know, months. Christian Wood has had a low impact this season, free agent. Gabe Vincent has had a low impact this season, injury as well. Cam Reddish, been out extended time. So it's just, they haven't had their whole team out there for a long enough stretch and period to gain some continuity. So I put a lot of it on that. Maybe not saying the roster isn't good enough, but just they haven't had their guys together long enough. I put it more so on that. Now, I know people, you know, start to criticize Darvin Ham. You criticize any coach. Criticize Darvin Ham. Frank Vogel is receiving the same treatment out there in Phoenix. You know, not calling timeouts, not making adjustments, all of that stuff. And look, man, this league is tough. It's tough on the head coach. But what I will say, if the Lakers do come up short in this first round, and if they do decide to let Darvin Ham go, my question is, who's out there? That's my question. Who is out there that can take this team to the next level? What proven coach is available?
Well, certainly Mike Budenholzer is out there, and we know he's a championship coach of recent vintage. I'm just not so sure that that's where the Lakers would turn if they did decide they were making a change.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. Ham comes from the Budenholzer tree, so I don't know that they would go down that road again. So, again, my question is, who is out there? Who, you know, because Lakers, they're quick to make changes, particularly on the head coaching front, okay? But who's out there?
Well, here's the thing. It's been very quiet to this point on the coaching carousel. The day after the season, there were no dismissals. It was very un-NFL-like. Obviously, Charlotte is still searching for a coach. Washington is still in the midst of a coaching search. The Brooklyn Nets decided very quickly after the season to hire Jordy Fernandez away from Mike Brown's staff in Sacramento. Jordy Fernandez will be the new coach of the Nets starting next season. But we know that when things happen in the playoffs, when teams lose earlier than they expect or hope, that does lead to surprise openings on the coaching carousel. And, you know, you mentioned it as well, Frank Vogel today, before this game against Minnesota, that as you and I are recording this, is going down to the wire with Minnesota trying to sweep the Suns out of the playoffs. Frank Vogel, before this game, had to answer a question about his job security. And Frank Vogel said at his pregame press conference, quote, "I've got full support for Matt Ishbia," end quote. We will soon see if that plays out because, again, as we're recording this, the Suns, Anthony Edwards just threw down a ridiculous dunk in traffic.
Ridiculous.
To put the Wolves up 4 heading into the final 2 minutes and change. And if Minnesota can hold that lead, the Suns would be the first team eliminated from the 2023-24 playoffs. So, yeah, if the Lakers lose early, if the Suns lose early, you know, put them in the same category, like I said before, right there with the Warriors, the Kings. I think the Hawks qualify as well in Atlanta, where these teams are entering difficult off seasons, really hard choices in the off season. And in one or two or maybe more of those situations, pressure will be immediately foisted upon the coach once their team is eliminated. But I'm glad you brought up the Lakers because you have neatly led me into the Monday preview. This episode is dropping on a Monday, and later today, you'll be on the sidelines for Game 4 in Miami. Celtics at Heat, and then later in the evening, the Lakers in Denver for Game 5. The Lakers did avoid the sweep. They did extend their season. The one wrinkle here in that, I mean, you would think Denver's going to finish off the Lakers Game 5 in their gym. But Jamal Murray sustained a calf injury late in Game 4 in L.A. So, but this series is over, right? There's no way the Lakers can come back. Can they?
Well, it's one game at a time. Yeah, one game at a time. I mean, the odds are definitely. Ooh, now Chris Finch hurt himself. No, Chris Finch. Stein, do you see this?
No, you must be ahead of me. Your feed must be.
Yeah, I'm ahead.
Your feed must I'm be a little bit ahead of me.
Wow, Conley runs. Oh, hits him right in the knee, it looks like. Oh, the right knee.
I see it now. Goodness sakes. That is the metaphor.
Going? Injuries galore.
That is the metaphor of these playoffs now. Mike. Oh, Mike Conley straight into Chris Finch's right knee. Man.
And Finch is still down. Oh, wow.
These playoffs, man, just way too hazardous. Greg Farnham, the Wolves trainer, and another Wolves staffer had to help Chris Finch off the floor with 1:41 remaining. Not even coaches are safe in the 2023-24 playoffs, man. This is ridiculous. So we wanted to just wait till the finish line to make sure, but it is finished now. The Timberwolves, again, a franchise that in its first 34 seasons won only two playoff series, both in 2004, 20 years ago. Sadly, Chris Finch didn't get to be on the floor for the finish of it, but the Wolves have broomed the Phoenix Suns into the offseason. The very high-priced, top-heavy Phoenix Suns. Man, what are they going to do this offseason? I mean, look at the coaching box if you want to. Is Frank Vogel's job legit under threat, as has been suggested in some league circles? I mean, changing the coach, what is that really going to change? How does this roster change because of how much Phoenix has spent to put together this star trio it has assembled? The Suns, as everyone knows, are so far into the second apron. They have no easy way to make changes here. Bradley Beal, his first season as a Phoenix Sun ends with a 9-point performance in Game 4. And Beal, as we mentioned, fouled out late. And 9 points, 6 turnovers in the final game of the season for Bradley Beal. And no matter what happens with their coaching situation, how do the Suns improve this roster next season? It's really hard to see a pathway for them to improve this roster meaningfully.
Well, you know, you can start by getting a point guard. That should be a top priority. But definitely, you know, you hit it on the head. Definitely too top heavy.
I mean, Bradley Beal has a no trade clause, so they can't trade Bradley Beal unless he consents. And who's really, what kind of market is there going to be for Bradley Beal when he's making about $50 million next season and his first season in Phoenix did not go well? This is the matchup Phoenix wanted. They got up to number six. They won the season series 3-0 against Minnesota. And everybody thought this thing had upset potential. And man, the Timberwolves just absolutely reaffirmed that they are the best defensive team in the league. And truly, man, I am sick for Chris Finch. First of all, just hope that the injury, the knee injury, isn't too serious, because it obviously looked awful. And the way he had to be helped off the floor, that alone should be cause for concern. But just absolutely sucks for Finch. His first playoff series victory as an NBA coach. And I say that as someone who watched him coach in the British Basketball League a quarter century ago against Nick Nurse. And he doesn't get to be out there to enjoy it. But man, the Wolves, how impressive were the Minnesota Timberwolves in this first round? Crazy.
Minnesota Timberwolves, OKC Thunder, playing some great ball.
And we've barely talked about the Thunder. Mark Dagnall named Coach of the Year tonight. I mean, the Thunder have certainly, they're getting people's attention. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but this is potentially setting up very nicely for the Thunder in round two, because assuming that OKC can finish off New Orleans up 3-0, and again, of course, the Pelicans do not have the injured Zion Williamson, the Thunder will play either the Clippers, who don't have Kawhi Leonard at the moment, or the Mavericks, who have an ailing Luka Doncic. So the Thunder, in their first playoff run as a team, pretty much the youngest team out there, what an opportunity the Thunder have, up 3-0 now on New Orleans. And man, StatMuse just tweeted it. I have to repeat it. The Suns did not win a playoff game this season. Swept out of the first round. But on top of that, the Suns possess no first-round picks between 2025 and 2030, and no second-round picks between 2024, as in this June, and 2030. So the Suns have no draft capital to make moves. How do they, if they decide to keep Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal together, how do they improve around those guys with very, very limited flexibility to sign free agents or make trades? Man, Matt Ishbia has a lot of questions to answer. Last thing, is South Beach treating you all right? How about, what did Mrs. Haynes think of her anniversary being talked about on national television?
Yeah, I had to show her the next morning. It was cool. So our anniversary was actually today. So we went to the beach, hung out at the beach. Bernie Lee, Jimmy Butler's agents, got us reservations at Carbone, Italian restaurant out here. Spent like 3 hours there. She had a great time. She had a great time. So, you know,
I heard your colleague Brian Anderson put the city on alert. The Haynes family's in town.
That was cool. 21 years.
Congratulations, my friend. That is awesome. And congratulations to show contributor Charlotte Haynes as well. And beyond wishing you guys a happy 21st anniversary, I am wishing for no more injuries. Can we just stop it with the injuries? Can we have 1, 2, maybe 3 days of good health in this league? Enough. Stop it. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of This League Uncut. As always, please follow us, rate the show, review the show. We would love to get a 5-star review from you. Chris is on Celtics Heat, I believe, through game 5. Is that correct? You're on that series at least through game 5?
Yes, sir.
I will be on Mavs Clippers probably to the completion of that series, definitely through the first 6 games. We'll see if A, it requires a game 7, and if I would make it to that game 7. That is TBD, but I will be at game 5 in LA. I'll be working actually on the Mavericks radio broadcast as I did for game 1 and game 2 in LA. So busy times. That's the way it is in the playoffs, but Chris and I will be together again very soon for the next edition of This League Uncut. Thanks as always for listening, and one more time, happy 21st anniversary to Chris and Sherwood Haynes.
And that'll do it for us. See you next time. This League Uncut is an iHeartRadio production. Boom shakalaka! Chris Haynes and Mark Stein!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.